Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you.' This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Should I be afraid?
reading from a letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Your Lord and Teacher, have washed your feet, then surely you must wash one another's feet. I give to I have loved you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 16, as we say together, Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord, as we say together, Praise to you, Lord Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father and his risen, living, and returning Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the joy, power, and yes, the love of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Perhaps you've noticed the last few Sundays, I've been preaching messages related to our first readings from the book of Exodus. My purpose here is to help us see it's these stories of ancient Israel in the Egyptian captivity that mirror what we see in the New Testament stories of Jesus. Essentially, the Old Testament story is primarily about the mighty acts of God rescuing the Hebrew people from both spiritual and physical bondage, and then delivering them into a new hope-filled future. The whole Exodus narrative describes how seemingly insignificant people deliver a small child from certain death, and then how God empowers that person who later turns out to be their deliverer. The story of Jesus parallels the story of Moses, for it is here that we discover what God has been up to all these generations. God is in the business of being active on behalf of his people, and of course, that includes you and me and St. Andrews as well. Now, we've moved on from the baby found in the River Nile by an Egyptian princess to a familiar story about the adult Moses. And it's important that we don't be fooled by our dim recollections of Charlton Heston's portrayal of Moses in that 1950s movie, oh, you remember, The Ten Commandments. This morning's passage isn't about a timid exile's reverent first meeting with the God of his ancestors. Rather, this story is about a no-holds-barred encounter between a wily, even contriving outlaw and a God who's more than up to the challenge of transforming him into an instrument of salvation. Remember, at this point, Moses is on the run from the Egyptians who raised him because of murdering one of the slave masters brutalizing the Hebrew people. Moses isn't living in Pharaoh's palace anymore. He's out in the boonies shepherding some sheep when he encounters the famous burning bush, who miraculously begins speaking to him. The drama of this scene peaks when Moses asks a question. Up to this point, it's pretty much your standard encounter with a deity. That is, a spectacle. Of course, the burning bush. A booming address, Moses, Moses. An appropriate show of humility. Remember how he took off his shoes or his sandals, followed by a huge promise, Quote, I will deliver my people from bondage, says the Lord. Followed by self-deprecating hesitation, where Moses says, I can't do this. And finally, with a divine reassurance, oh yes, you can, Moses. And then Moses says, suppose I go to the Israelites and tell them all this great news, and they're just a tad skeptical, you know, to the point of asking just who this God is who sent me. What shall I tell them? Such an innocent, understandable, and even reasonable question, don't you think? Except that it's not. Not at all. It's a total power play, subtle, even sly, but a power play nonetheless. Everything at this point hinges on names, and particularly the power of names to reveal the character of a person. You remember the story of Jacob, the heel, H-E-E-L, quite literally, who received his name because he was grabbing his brother's heel as they came out of the womb and never stopped grabbing for all that he could the rest of his life. That is, until he wrestled this same God to a draw and gave the new life-transforming name of Israel. You see, what's going on here? Moses isn't asking for a calling card. He's trying to pull the name out of this divine being, because to know his name is to have a certain power over it. Think of it this way. It's like if we were at a church coffee hour here at St. Andrew's, and I started calling out your name. Hey, Jim. Hey, Nicole. Oh, Mary Jo. If I called out your name, you'd probably turn around and wonder, who's calling? In other words, you would respond. Which is, in this story, it's what makes God's answer so perfect to Moses when he says, quote, I am who I am, unquote. How do you like them apples, Moses? Don't you just love God's answer? Because through it, God is saying, in a sense, don't box me in, Moses. I will be who I will be. Which means that what God is actually saying is that you can't really know who God is unless you're willing to sign on for God's mission in the world. Which is what Moses ultimately does. Going back to Egypt, confronting Pharaoh, leading his people out of Egypt, taking them through the parted waters into the wilderness. And there on the other side of things, Moses doesn't need to ask for God's name anymore, as he learned it firsthand through his own experience, and so is ready to sing of what he has discovered. In fact, in chapter 15, just before our text, these are the words that Moses sang. Quote, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider, he is thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might, and he's become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Moses has learned who God is, you see, only by following God on the path God set for him. Thereby he learns firsthand the nature and purpose and truth of this God. And the thing is, this doesn't stop or even begin with Moses. It was true of his ancestors, Abraham taking off for a new land in his old age, Jacob fleeing God in every which way only to be called by God to begin a new nation. And it will be true of his descendants as well. From the Old Testament prophets and priests to New Testament disciples, oh yes, and don't forget Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who went faithfully to the cross for you and me. So folks, to tell you the truth, I suspect that this is the way it always is, even today, for you and me. To know God, we have to go with God. Think of it this way. Faith is a full contact participation sport, if you will. We just can't sit back and expect really to know God. We have to get up off the couch and get in the game. Take a risk, trying something marvelous, reach for something we thought was unachievable, step out into the winding road and the end of which we can't see from our own doorstep. So let me ask you, where do you think God is calling you and calling St. Andrew's Episcopal? What tasks might God have set for us? What mission are we called to? What path have we been set upon? It doesn't have to be a spectacular one either. Most of us don't see ourselves as the stuff of which faith heroes are made. I surely don't. But remember, few of the characters that God employs, including Moses, oh, and those Egyptian midwives, Shifra and Pua, we heard about last Sunday, none of these folks were the stuff of heroes. And yet God uses these frail, fallible, and oh so ordinary people over and over again to do extraordinary things. Last year, at my first vestry retreat as your transition priest, I invited our church leaders to pray with me the following prayer. It seems most appropriate given today's scripture. Let us pray. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.